boiled eggs, fried eggs, omelets, onsen tamago, poached egg, scrambled eggs, basted eggs, shirred eggs, quiche. Some of the many things you can do with real eggs, none of which you can do with a stupid, stupid gold egg. Welcome to Tim and Joel Call It in the Ring. We talk about wrestling. Tim, sometimes.
Tim, you know so much about eggs. Have you ever considered opening up your own egg restaurant?
Profit margins on restaurants, way too thin. Hell no. But
after the first year, I hear that they can become profitable if you do the job right.
The rent is too absurd here. No.
Are you trying to say the rent is too damn high?
The rent is too damn high.
Well, let me tell you where the rent is not too damn high. And that's here on this channel where you can press subscribe and it's free. No rent, no costs. It's free. Free 99. It's my favorite. You can toss
free
a thumbs 99. Up.
Ooh, okay,
free 99. You can toss a thumbs up on this video. It's free. Free 99. You can also you can leave us a comment. That's also free. You can bash us for all I care. Just to say something. Say something in the comment.
I could use being taken down a peg.
Case in point. There you go. Talk us through your egg fantasies. You can also do that on our Discord, where it's also, Tim, how much does it cost?
Free 99.
You got it. Free 99. Go ahead, join the Discord. There's a link in the video description. It's free. Come and join us, friends.
It's also all right. Priceless, in case you were wondering. So.
Oh, it is priceless. You're all priceless. Friends, we're doing well. Tim, how are you doing?
I continue to exist.
You're existing is what you're doing?
I'm existing, yes.
You're excited?
Excited. Nearly in ecstasy.
Shout out to our friend Ron Patel for noticing I'm not just wearing a black shirt today. I came from an interview and a meeting and it was good.
Flipping the script.
Right, that's right. We're flipping the script. Tim, we have so much wrestling to talk about. We have the Survivor Series. You and I sat in that watch along. You progressively sunk into your chair, into the floor. I progressively talked more and more about everything that's not wrestling related. And the show happened and it was a two-match show. And we're going to talk about Raw. We're going to talk about NXT. We're going to preview Dynamite. We're going to give you a little scoopski from Fightful Select about Johnny Gargano. You excited for that, Tim?
Yeah.
All right. Survivor Series was a two-match show. Am I right? Am I right?
Yeah, and they had the absolute cruelty to decide to bookend the show with the two good matches. I mean, you know, smart from their perspective, but wretched from a viewership perspective.
Originally, it was supposed to be flipped around. It was supposed to be Big E and Roman opening the show.
That's
and
how I was booking it. Yeah, that's what I was. That's how we said it on the podcast before. I was like, I expect the main event to be the women's match because they hyped it like it was the main event.
You think there was some sort of like Vince McMahon in the back saying, I'm not going to do the voice. Vince McMahon saying something like,
he can't even do the voice anymore, man.
He's a shell of a man. Anyway, he said something. But like, do you think maybe his view was like, because Red Notice paid us so much money and the egg and like The Rock and Roman, do you think he maybe like convinced himself that people will stick around if they put Roman and Big E last? Because keep in mind, this is like a streamable show. This isn't a pay-per-view that you pay $50 for and you're already invested. This is a television show for all intents and purposes, and you can zip in and out as you please.
I think the calculus was on the Roman Rock potential, that rumor that was going around, right? Like, I think that's what they did. They knew what they were doing.
Do you really think that? I don't know if people were really outside of like the wrestling bubble that you and I maybe are a part of. I don't think as many people were expecting The Rock as we think.
I just think it was dumb. Like, who cares? What is the 25th anniversary of The Rock's debut? Was that it?
They only hit you over the head with it about 27
yeah,
times.
Like, who cares? Like, you could do that with so many wrestlers. We could be seeing that on every single piece of content they do. So the fact that they chose to do something seemed very pointed. Like, and like, again, okay, cool. The Rock debuted. He didn't matter for quite a while. Like, maybe we celebrate the debut of The Rock that mattered, perhaps, but no.
1998. Oh my God, Nation of Domination Rock. That's the one you want.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one. I don't know. One thing apparently in the crowd, whenever they did those 25th anniversary Rock moments, the crowd would pop. Like, they thought The Rock was coming out because they get caught by the music and like Which
is what makes me think they knew what they were doing.
Like, maybe you're right. It's the circus. It's just it kind of comes off in poor taste. I wouldn't be surprised if it's like that. So to have Roman and Big E open the night, it almost would have turned people off from the show afterwards. Although at the same time, a lot of people wanted to see Becky and Charlotte because there was that weird, like, will they, won't they coexist in the ring? I'm not going to do the gimmick for this because this was a legitimate, like, do they have a problem? Can they work together? Clearly they can.
Yeah.
Like, there were enough people who were asking about that as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't have any issue with them doing this because I don't care. I don't care if The Rock shows up. Was kind of glad he didn't. It was funny to me. what I would say about another factor in the switcheroo is I think we're seeing a little bit of a backslide in terms of the women's evolution here. Like, I just think they're put a bit more on the back burner. Like, they are not focusing on developing the division the same way that they were for a while.
I think it's a good point. I think you're on the right track with that. I think you and I may have talked about that a little bit as well, how they've shifted focus over the last few years to different people, different styles, different demographics. NXT 2.0, though, when we talk about that, there were three women's matches on that show.
Yeah.
Like, the women become a focal point on NXT, but at the same time, how long will that last?
I think that's coming with a trade-off, too. I think that, okay, we're going to heavily focus on the women in NXT, but I think it's bringing a bit, like, sexuality plays more of a role than it has in the last little while. And I think they'll be like, okay, we'll do this, but we're bringing some of this back.
Yeah, it's a good point. And our buddy Drew points out, you know, Brooklyn, Rock has made at least one surprise appearance in Brooklyn. That's the reality of it. He could pop up anywhere at the same time. For all we know, you know, he got stuck in traffic and said, forget it, I'm gone. I'm not going to turn around. We're going back to the airport. Fly me back to Australia.
Here's that egg. What you will. And that's egg. How we got the egg.
So we get the egg. Vince McMahon says something along the lines of,
No. The very first thing we get off the show is a 70-year-old billionaire amassing his employees to cheer for him on camera.
A week after releases, which again, common fan probably don't recognize it, but for the fan who knows and the fan who keeps track and those who talk about it, looked real bad.
It was gross. I hated it, but whatever. It also immediately set the tone of what the fuck is happening tonight.
Every single time that man shows up now, it's to do something completely non sequitur and strange. Remember when fans came back in July?
Where were you?
Yeah, where the hell have you been? And it's like, so that seems to be the reaction. It's just,
It seems crazy. Like, him tapping his fingers at the start seemed like odd. Like, everything about him seems wrong now. I can't.
Carney Joseph in the chat saying the surprise was that The Rock won't be there. That's right. Surprise! The guy we invited to the show isn't going to be there. The guy that we based the entire show around isn't going to be there.
I will say, like, WWE not pulling some nostalgia act in this close to Royal Rumble WrestleMania is more of the like, that's more unexpected to me. And I did enjoy his absence more. I enjoyed the show just ending and The Rock not being there. Like, the more they don't lean on nostalgia, the happier I am.
Don't watch Raw next week if you have a problem with the nostalgia thing. I'll leave it at that. Are you
doing another Legends Night?
No, it's not Legends Night. Legends Night will come back in 2021, but there will be someone. There will be a legend who comes back tomorrow night. An active legend. Not tomorrow, on Monday. Either way.
Ooh, what?
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay, it's we'll not see. Hard.
So they open the show with Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. They had the pre-show match, which actually is important to think of because Shinsuke gets the win in a DQ, and he is the only other SmackDown wrestler to get a victory for SmackDown.
Yep.
Okay. Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, they tear the house down. They go nuts. They absolutely tear each other apart. They have a match that looks like they're having a fight. It's a real
barn burner.
Yes. The finish. What did you think of that finish with the roll through, holding the ropes? What did you think?
I think that makes sense to finish it this way. For these two, it made sense to me.
It was polarizing, though. There were people who were like, I don't like that. It's not a clean finish.
I mean, in this one, I don't know. I don't think you're going to get a clean finish. You got, you know, the daughter of Ric Flair and Becky Lynch, who they're trying to get over as a heel. And in this case, I think it makes a ton of sense. Like, here's the, I don't think people would be, I don't think it'd be as polarizing if people weren't just so, like, annoyed with WWE for non-finishes generally. And, like, this is not a non-finish. Again, I'll keep saying, like, cheated pinfalls are still pinfalls. Like, they don't. That's a thing, and it's always been a thing, and it's not going away, and I don't care. Like, that's not the same as a DQ. Like, if she holds the ropes, doesn't matter to me. It doesn't mean they can still, like, that could be the end of a feud for them, right? Like, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with a cheat to win pinfall victory ending a feud. Doesn't matter.
I will push back about the whole, like, Charlotte taking a loss or not. She's actually pretty good at just taking L's. I mean, 11-time world champion bullshit, but yeah.
My comment was the daughter of Ric Flair will also attempt to cheat to win. Like, the fact that ended... Yeah. So what I was trying to get at there is that both of them are going to try to cheat and out-cheat each other, and you got your little nod and smile and walk away, and, like, that was perfect. I thought it was the right choice here, honestly.
Me too. You couldn't have Becky lose this. She's on a hot streak, but also I don't know if people understand every single time Becky puts that title on the line or has a major match, that's how she wins the match. She puts her, she grabs the rope, she rolls them up. And they did the same thing at Crown Jewel. They did the same thing at other title matches that Becky's been in. That's how she wins matches right now. And so for me, the finish made perfect sense.
Part of the luster here is that, like, maybe she's not quite up to speed yet. Like, maybe she's still got a little, but she wants to be big time backs, right? Like, she's coming on, she's putting on airs a little bit. And I think that's an interesting story to tell with this, right? Like, she's heel. Like, she's a bad guy. The way that you win right now is, like, I might not be the best right now, but I'm sure as hell not going to let them know.
Yeah. And it was, again, good match, just simple storytelling to me, at least, especially given what we were dealing with between the two of them. Was it
with the old belt chucking?
That's right. Rudy Tooty Worky Shooty, as it is.
Men's
Survivor Series match. Seth wins, beats Jeff Hardy, who's clearly going to face Roman Reigns at day one in a TLC match. Jeff Hardy making it all the way way to the end. Did that shock you?
No, because you've telegraphed this. I think, like, they are building him up. Like, the fact that he is on TV every week, whether or not it is necessary in any way, is telling that they're trying to put Jeff into a program. Because, like, they keep doing pointless backstage segments with him. And it's because they want him on there and they want to build him up. And they think that this Survivor Series match is a good way to do that. They did the same thing with Bianca in a later match, right? By building her up with this. By rebuilding her with this, as if this is anything. But to them, it is.
The only other thing I can see them doing at day one is Woods and Roman. And that's because they're in Atlanta. That's Woods's home area, hometown. And you know how WWE likes to beat people in their hometown. But also you're building right now to Woods having more of a singles run with the King of the Ring crown.
I mean, and we could do that. And then we could do Jeff Hardy and Roman at the Rumble. Like,
yeah. As long as we get that TLC match. That's all I want. Yeah. And I think that's all they want. It was a 30-minute match, and to be honest, most of that was probably intros.
Yeah, it's all kind of a blur to me. I appreciated Seth's recap on Raw. I'll say that much.
Oh, we'll talk about that with Seth and Raw. Speaking of appreciating, I appreciated that they gave one side a full entrance to the ring, and then the other team would get a ramp entrance, and then they'd all go to the ring with the last entrant. I like that. It cuts down on having like 20-minute entrances. It becomes like 15 minutes like that.
Yeah.
I'll give them that. That battle royal, the Pizza Hut battle royal. It was just silly fun. You don't like those tie-ins.
I don't like ads so much. So
to me, it's,
I hate it's making event money. Marketing specifically. Like, I hate what ads have become. Like, they can't just be, we sell this thing. Like, they've become this intrusive, all-consuming nonsense. So I don't care for it. It's not so much like the individual performances of it. It's just that this encourages the proliferation of this. And I'm sick of it. But anyway.
I think that's where you and I are, like, very different. Because I am in that background of synergy and event marketing and like trying to connect different things together. For me, like, was it fun? Yes. Did it make sense? No. It's Pizza Hut. Like, they paid And they said, I don't care what you do, just put it on the show somehow. And they said, how about we put all the pizzas at ringside and then we huck them into the crowd at the end.
Yeah. So the one thing that made it really worth it is having the Street Profits just winging pizza slices into the crowd.
That shit can hurt if it hits you at 100 miles an hour.
I don't want that. I don't want your air pizza. Like,
that just feels like pain. Just
like odds are someone's getting the, look, you ever ordered Pizza Hut? Odds are someone's getting the toppings and someone else is getting the dough. Like, and a few people getting the sauce along the way.
Oh, God. That's good. I haven't had Pizza Hut in so long. I think the last time I had it, I had their pasta. It wasn't bad.
Oh, it's good. It's greasy as hell. I love it.
Usos and RK Bro, this is the one that I telegraphed the finish for. As we were watching live, I said, Riddle's doing all the work, and it's all building up to have Randy tag in, hit an RKO 1-2-3. And what does it happen? Bam! Out of nowhere, RKO 1-2-3. Sure. That's... The match was fine. I didn't hate the match. It was just there.
Yeah, I mean, the subs of the Bloodline continue to be losers, and RK-Bro continues on the upswing. And good, rightfully so, they're doing good work.
Yeah. It's beautiful that Tim doesn't like corporations corporating corporations.
It's just so much. It's just ever present. And again, like I think people just lost this battle. I think it was there's a lot of pushback for this in the late 90s, early 2000s, and then everyone just gave up, and now Zoomers just, it's who they are. Their identity has become shoes and brands and whatever, but anyway.
Yeah, Nier, you're not wrong, and we've talked about this extensively on the show, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it more and more as time goes on, because Red Notice paid a lot of money to have this show promoted, and here comes the egg.
Duh, egg.
It's $100 million. Cleopatra egg.
I don't know what a Cleopatra egg is. It's just a big stupid egg.
I think
a
it's part of the
gaudy
movie.
Egg.
It's part of the movie.
Yeah. Now, is that a real thing? Cleopatra egg?
I'm going to let you Google that because I have not seen the movie. The most time I've spent on Netflix lately. All
right. Men's Health has done the digging on this. So let's check it out.
I trust none of this. Anyway, while you're looking at that, Vince says someone stole the egg, calls them thieves. And then says every superstar from Raw and SmackDown has to be at Raw. So the brand split is going swimmingly is what I'm getting out of this.
Yeah, clearly that they're so willing to amalgamate. And they put Natty and Tamina back together again for no reason, for one night only. Except
them.
That it seemed that they were setting up a six-woman tag.
It's a six-woman trios title. We got to get ahead of that Tony Khan.
Anyway. Dewdrop continues to have festive music. Oh, man. Anyway, Cleopatra eggs are fake.
Good. So is this entire $100 million egg story.
Oh, yeah.
Team Raw versus SmackDown Women's Survivor Series match. The crowd was not into it. And you know what? Kudos to Becky Lynch the next night on Raw for pointing that out and just calling the crowd out.
Excellent. It was great. I thought, until you're full of crap. Great promo right here. My God. Killing it. And again, everyone wants to hate on this heel turn. I think she's doing a great job. I think it's fine. I don't think there's any issues with it.
Yeah. Becky straddled the line and then, you know, basically tore everyone apart and said, you're dumb. You're not, you know, you don't love these up and coming women. You just want the same thing all the time. So Shotzi and Belair are the final two. Belair, who was down 4-1, gets the win. They did a thing where they counted out Sasha, even though she wasn't supposed to be counted. It's just, something got weird. And so they protected.
Oh, yeah. They just she kept jumping up to the apron and everything. And it was like, no.
Yeah. It was like, oh, very strange. Okay. So anyway, Banks was out about 20 minutes and the crowd was like, nah, forget this. I hate this. And then the rest of the show was not the rest of the show. The rest of the match was kind of like, meh.
Okay. I saw what they were going to do with it. Sorry. Now I'm being questioned on the Cleopatra eggs being real.
Anyway, apparently it's a real thing. Mark Anthony.
Men's Health totally screwed me.
4 or 5 eggs to show his loyalty for her birthday. Good thing Vince has the one that's left.
That sounds like the type of thing that's horseshit, though. That story doesn't sound real at all.
Whatever, man. It all goes back to the stupid movie. And the thing I'm watching on Netflix right now is The Blacklist. So I watch nonsense all day anyway. So maybe I'll go watch Burnt Notice. Anyway, and then we get to the main event, Big E and Roman Reigns. Again, a solid match. Kind of wanted Big E to win because I think you and I talked about it. Both sides gain something from that. Roman becomes an absolutely murderous jerk and he's upset that he lost the match. and it wasn't a title match, so he doesn't lose the title, but it shows a crack in the foundation of the bloodline. And then Big E says, I pinned the Universal Champion. And it makes, it elevates Big E that much more, because we're probably going to get Big E and Goldberg at Royal Rumble. Hey, that's a match he wants, by the way.
I know. I don't care what he wants. I want what I want.
That's fair.
I'm not Big E.
Well, that's what you get. You get what you get, I suppose. Yeah, so the match was good. It was a 20-minute main event match, which some people have been talking about Big E needing to up that game to be able to do those 30-minute matches. But I don't think WWE really cares much about doing a 30-minute main event as long as the right things are there. The right beats are in the match. You have anything to
match
add to
was
that?
Good. That match was good. I got nothing on that. I'm focused on the egg.
Stuff. Well, okay, fine. Let's talk about the egg, because
which is honestly that was the biggest, most interesting takeaway from Survivor Series, which is horrible. Like, that's such a horrible thing.
So let's talk about the egg. Next night, Vince McMahon's sitting at his desk and he's like, "Find
it." Opens the show.
Find your egg, or Sonya and Adam, you're fired. Yeah. So they're like,
honestly,
no,
if this was just a vehicle to drop both of them, like from this position, I would have been totally fine with all of it.
And again, talk about tone deafness, at least for those who are in the know. Vince McMahon being like, I'm going to fire you after I just fired all these people last week going into a pay-per-view. That stuff was kind of like, all right, you really didn't have to go there. But again, Vince McMahon and co. don't put much stock into people like us who sit on the internet and talk about the product. I understand why. I don't necessarily agree with it all the time, but I understand why. Regardless, he says, whoever brings it this $100 million egg, whoever brings it back gets a WWE title shot. Tim, I would keep that fucking egg and I would go across the world with it.
Thank you. I was just like, wait, $100 million or that stupid, ugly title? No, goodbye. My wrestling career is over. I'll go start my own small indie promotion somewhere far away from Vince.
Buddy, I am going to start a fight club where I don't have to do any of the fighting, but I get all the profits.
Exactly.
I ain't going to wrestle for the prestige of more matches. No, bump that. I ain't going to spend
It's the benefit of good work begets more work. Thank you. No, thank you. I'll take my $100 million and leave, please.
It's so ridiculous. So, yeah, so that's the whole thing. And, of course, it all circles back at the end of the night to Austin Theory. And, of course, Sami Zayn in between. So here's the thing. I know a lot of people are talking about, Sami Zayn probably going to be out the door when his contract ends. I think a lot of people need to put stock in the fact that Sami is loving playing this character. He doesn't have to wrestle every week. He does, but he doesn't have to wrestle with this character every week on TV. And clearly Vince McMahon loves this Sami Zayn. Like, not just the character, but like, he likes Rami. He likes the guy.
Yeah.
It'll be up to Sami at the end of the day, but I don't think he's disgruntled in the role that he's playing.
No, screw it. Getting paid on TV pretty much every week.
So Sami's like, I know who did it. I know who did this. And Vince is like, I don't believe you. And he's like, I'll prove it. And he says, do it or you're fired. Okay. So he brings in Austin Theory. And Austin Theory is like, hey, I'm sorry. I wanted to take a selfie with the egg. Please don't fire me. And Vince is like, I like your moxie. You get the title shot. And Sammy's like, what is this? What the garbage is that? What the fuck? And yeah, so.
There's an arch narrative here that's not so good.
Enlighten me.
Austin Theory just isn't so very good at. He's not waiting for consent. He's not asking permission.
Someone's got to take his phone away from him.
He's failing upwards, in case you haven't noticed.
Austin Theory's phone gets him in trouble, but also seems to get him jobs. So here we are. Regardless, Theory gets the title shot for some reason, which, you know what? I will draw this, but I will circle back. And I made reference to this on the internet. They did that thing a couple of weeks ago where Theory came out randomly before KO and Seth had a match. Big E was at ringside. He came out and he wanted to take a selfie with Big E, and Big E swatted the phone out of his hand.
You were warned, people.
They try to connect it. I give him a little bit of that, but otherwise, It was fine. Yeah, like Drew was saying, I don't see Sammy leaving. He's happy there.
Yeah.
KO, we'll find out. I think KO is going to come down to what he and his family want and what opportunities come with it. So I'm not going to speak for anyone's expectations. I just know that Kyle O'Reilly will be at the AEW Dynamite show on December 1st in Duluth, Georgia. So let's move along in the show. Kevin Patrick's interviewing Randy Orton, and then all of a sudden Matt Riddle comes out, and Riddle's wearing Drew Gulak's tights, and he's being Randy Orton.
Good bit. Loved it.
You liked it?
I liked it.
On the fence.
It was good. It was cute. Good Riddle match and, after.
Yeah, Riddle and Ziggler then have a match for some reason. I'm guessing we're building to Riggler and Zood, my God. Ziggler and Rude having a match.
It worked for Randy Orton. It worked copying Randy, so maybe they come back as Riggler and Zood next week.
Oh, could you imagine? That's how they do it.
If anyone's going to do it, Dolph Ziggler's going to do it.
Bobby Roode wearing a Dolph Ziggler wig, but it's spaghetti because it's his hair just looks like ugly ass spaghetti. That's perfect. I didn't hate it. I didn't hate Riddle doing the Randy thing. It was pretty spot on.
That RKO was a thing of beauty.
Yeah, and even Randy doing the Bro Derek afterwards.
The Bro Derek, yeah.
Fine by me. I like that they're trying to make a tag team that has synergy, even though they've been just randomly tossed together.
Yeah.
There's something there. So that was that match. Riddle wins, as expected. I'm sure next week Randy will lose the match to Robert Roode randomly. It'll be a distraction.
Yeah, some sort of horrible roll-up.
Yeah, exactly. They're tearing apart the Rude stuff backstage. Don't care. Becky comes out. We talked about the Becky promo. It was great.
So good. Very later, good. Love
later
it.
On, they do the interview with Liv Morgan. And Liv Morgan is like, I don't know how you feel about it. It wasn't my favorite interview. But Becky then shows up and starts
talking like,
shit.
Yeah.
And while she's doing it.
Just bullies the hell out of her.
And Liv's like starting to look like she's going to cry. That
Liv,
I like.
Liv did good at looking like she was going to cry. That was good, which is not easy. So.
And then just smacked her in the face. And Becky's like, oh my God, she hit me in the face. Love it. It was a very Conor McGregor moment. And I was into it. So yeah, they do Tamina and Bianca Belair again. Don't need to talk about that. Belair gets the win. But of course, Doudrop coming after Bianca Belair. That's what I want.
Yeah, heel Doudrop with her dance music.
That's what you do. Hey man, that music is good. You got to do the dance too.
Yeah. Yeah. Except that now she's a heel, which is weird.
Only I may dance. It'll never be good. Balor and Seth doesn't happen. For multiple reasons. First they beat each other up. That's fine. That was supposed to happen. Then as Balor's walking towards the top of the ramp,
Seth is walking towards the top of the ramp.
Did I say Balor? I meant Seth.
Yeah.
As Seth is walking to the top of the ramp, some guy just goes and tries to take him down. It looked bad, but after taking a look at the fan cam footage,
he immediately got him in a headlock.
Yeah, and you know what? He did the right thing. Seth handled it as best as he could. He neutralized him. He passed him off to the security and to the agents who were right there, ready to go. They picked up the fan. They escorted him out right into NYPD hands. And that guy's going to have, you know, he's going to be handled. Apparently, this whole situation was a catfish.
Saw that. Depressing.
It is. I think it's really shitty. That for two sides, one, that this person got catfished, that someone did that to somebody. And two, I don't want to go into like a mental health thing or not, because that's not for me to say. I don't know the person. I don't know what they're up to or are up against. But that person shouldn't have crossed the barricade.
No.
And the venue should have had someone stationed in that section. It's a blind spot. I think someone had pointed out that when Bret Hart was attacked, quote unquote, during the Hall of Fame, it was at the Barclay Center, and the guy ran in from the exact same spot. So that area clearly needs better containment. It's right beside the stage. If that's the case,
yeah, that's pretty damning.
So strange. You don't do that. I don't need to tell anybody in this chat, but if you're listening and you don't frequent wrestling shows, do not cross the barricade. Do not get in the ring unless you're invited as a planned event. Don't step to wrestlers. Don't threaten them. It's entertainment.
Like, look, I hopefully no one out. Like, I don't know. There's so many people who are falling for scams and things like that. Don't talk to wrestlers. Just leave them the hell alone. Like,
if a millionaire is asking you for money,
yeah. But
don't give them the money. They're not gonna. It doesn't end well.
Yeah.
I feel like I said. I feel bad for the person who got scammed. I think the scammer is a piece of garbage human for enabling this and doing those things.
There's no shortage, so.
Yeah. It was just a bad look all around, and hopefully everyone is okay. Becky even came out to the top of the ramp. Like, everything was off camera, but you could see Becky comes out, Michael P.S. Hayes comes out, and I think the funniest meme that's come from that is like just this outline of P.S. Hayes, but you see the giant fanny pack that he always carries. It's very, like, it's prevalent in this like blurry shot of P.S. Hayes. That's my favorite part of this whole thing. It's ridiculous. Yeah, my God. Don't need to talk about the egg anymore. I think we've made it through the egg. Did you watch Street Profits and AJ Styles and Omos? Did you watch the match?
Loosely.
Okay, I don't want to talk about it either. They did a
ending. Yeah, the ending was like, oh, okay.
What I do want to talk about is how I told everybody that Nikki Ash and Rhea Ripley would drop the tag titles at 7 o'clock before Raw went on the air. When they announced the match, listen, the women's tag titles have the same trope every single time. And I need everyone to understand that, because when they did last week's 50-50 booking with the singles matches, that was the exact same thing that they did with Natty and Tamina when Nikki Ash and Rhea Ripley were going for the titles. It's the same story. They don't know. They don't care. So it just happens. Now, if anything, it's just an excuse to put Queen Zelina on both shows and have Carmella on both shows. And if Corey Graves follows suit and does the match, any match that Carmella's in, have Corey Graves come out and be the guest commentator so that he could stroke off to Carmella while she's coming out. I think that would be hilarious and super obnoxious.
What do you think? Whatever. I don't care.
It was a 5-minute match. It was quick.
These matches don't matter. This belt doesn't matter.
Like, no. These belts. No, they don't. It's just, sorry, Zelina, for not putting your match on the 9/11
show. I thought it was conspicuous that her, like, hey, Vince apologized to me personally article showed up like immediately before this as well. And it's like,
thank you. God. I'm glad you pointed that out.
Cause it's just what happened to talking about unions, Zelina?
Money.
Whatever.
Exactly. Reggie drops a 24/7 title to Cedric Alexander, who then loses that title to Dana Brooke. And then what happens afterwards? All the wrestlers are like, oh shit, what do we do? Do we touch her?
No.
Can we touch the woman? What do we do? We can't touch the women. We can't do it. What do we do?
I don't know.
They're all confused. They're all looking around like, what do we do now? And so who's going to be the woman who takes the title off of Dana Brooke, do you think? Or someone pointed this out. Apparently, the only people who take the title, like the only men who take the title off of the women are WWE legends. So who's the legend who's going to take the title from Dana Brooke, or who's the woman who's going to do it? Come on.
Don't Randy Orton.
I don't think Randy wants that title in his collection.
I'm surprised Dana did. Did you see the thing where everyone came back and celebrated? I was like, oh,
that's well, she was just excited to be there. It's her first title. You know what? Good for her. Good. Yeah, good. Just whatever count. It is. It's her title. Let her have doesn't it. I think it's great. Sure. Jeff Hardy's going to be in that 24/7 title. And then at day one in a TLC match, it'll be title for title, 24/7 title, universal title on par with each other. Wonderful.
And then when Roman wins, he takes the 24/7 title and just throws it in the trash and we never see it again.
I'm surprised that the egg didn't end up being about the 24/7 title. Because it was so absurd and so stupid.
Yeah, I don't think that Vince McMahon doesn't want to be associated with the 24/7 title.
I wouldn't be surprised if Vince pitched it and The Rock's people were like, absolutely, don't do that. Yeah,
nope.
Make it worthwhile. Because regardless, 24/7 title goes to Dana Brooke. She'll hold it for a little bit. We'll see. I mean, she definitely gave a promo afterwards, and that's all I'll say about that.
Yep.
Dominic Rey Mysterio, MVP, Lashley, big fan of Lashley beating the shit out of the superstar Suns.
Yeah, it's great. He's just a man who hates boys.
He'll get Austin Theory next.
That's fine by me too.
Just waiting for Dominic to turn on Rey. That's all we're doing here, and I'm fine.
Don't want that ever. I just don't. I know they're gonna make it happen. I don't want it ever, ever.
MVP
just never
is my
happen.
Real dad.
Just break up as a tag team without having a stupid feud I don't care about. But we're gonna get it at WrestleMania. It's gonna suck.
Big fan of MVP telling Rey, you know, that your wife's disgusted with you. Give her my number. She'll call me. I love that. Very.
MVP continues shit. To be great.
Yes. It's just a good time. Damian Priest does his open challenge. I don't think there was much to add to that. He ends up getting Commander Aziz and Apollo Crews, and they're like, we don't want this title match. Like, what are you doing here? So Sami Zayn
just reminding you we're here.
Pretty much. Listen, they did it once. They'll play to it again. What do you think? Do you think Apollo Crews is going to be the man to defeat Damian Priest for the U.S. title?
No.
To make Priest then go for the WWE title?
I don't think he's there yet.
I agree with you, especially because they can't put him on TV for subsequent weeks.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn from SmackDown comes out and says, I want that title. And I say, I want Sami Zayn to win that title. You know why? Because if Sami Zayn and KO can have a bunch of banger matches before KO maybe leaves, you elevate the title, you elevate Sami, and KO goes under on the way out. Pretty fine by me. Good stuff. Oh yeah, here's a good one for Dom and Ray. Royal Rumble heel turn, toss Daddy over the top rope. Daddy's tiny.
Yeah.
It'll
he is perfectly. Yeah, you're bigger than him. You're not bigger than anyone else, but you're bigger than him.
That's right. If you can't do it, you'll get it that way. I like that idea. So why not? It's Sami Zayn loses the match. Priest gets all upset and pissy and beats the shit out of Sami. I'm glad that they didn't turn it into a DQ finish. I was worried that they were going to keep doing that, and that just devalues Damian Priest.
Yeah, because it's, you know, duality of man.
No man is ever truly good.
I also just realized Damian / Priest. I didn't catch on to that because they didn't have, this wasn't his stupid identity until now.
This is what
yeah,
they do.
But it's Damian, the devil. And then Priest, holy saintly man. Stupid.
Biggie defeats Austin Theory, not without a couple of distractions, but good match. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, why is KO in this? You think they're giving him a triple threat just as some alms? Like,
I mean, listen, you could do a triple threat with Biggie and Seth and KO. At the same time, Seth's got the title match, the contract. So
exactly.
He gets a one-on-one match that I think a lot of people need to understand. He gets a one-on-one match. You can't just make a triple threat and then say that's a contracted match. I'd be howling at the moon if that happened. It's bad.
But they did. Yeah. But didn't they do that with Edge not that long ago? And then they're like, oh, well, I still deserve a one-on-one. And then Edge got the one-on-one.
And then they did it. So I'm saying they'll do both.
Yeah.
They will do both. And it's a way to get through the holidays. I wouldn't be surprised if they do the triple threat and then have the one-on-one match at day one.
Yeah.
Then Goldberg comes out after Big E wins versus Seth Rollins and says, I get you with the Rumble. The next night on Raw.
You're next.
Dan's bringing up that Seth did not bring out the contract this week. I think they want you to forget about the contract while they set up the triple threat. And then when Seth loses the triple threat, he'll bring out the contract again and say, I want you at the pay-per-view. And that's fine, buddy. That gets you there.
Yes.
That was Raw. I mean, it ends with everyone attacking everyone and staring at everyone. But stare at us while you're here. Toss a thumbs up on the video, would you? Maybe leave a comment. Good or bad, I don't care. Just talk about it. And tell your friends about us. Share us on your socials. Why not? And subscribe to the channel if you're here, because we love having you in our community, including our Discord, where there's a link in the video description. Tim, it's free.
Free 99.
You ready to talk about NXT?
Yeah. Raw was okay.
I enjoyed it a lot.
NXT was good. Enjoyed it.
Grayson Waller talks over the open.
Fun.
I loved it. He's just no, forget it. The Rock, John Cena, Roman Reigns, and Grayson Waller. And I'm like, this is good. I like this. I want him to do this. And then out comes Tommaso Ciampa. They have a wonderful match. I think it showcased both men perfectly.
Yeah. Big time.
Waller spent most of the match doing things that Ciampa couldn't counter. And he made himself look good. And then eventually Ciampa, being the veteran, realized what Waller was doing, countered it, tossed him into the ropes, hit the Willer's Bell, then did the fairy tale ending, and 1, 2, 3. Both men elevated by this match.
Very good. Very good.
Big fan of that. And it was a and hot
this open. Set up this set up an excellent through thread, which yes, like, it did. You're really kudos right. on this. This was one of their better things.
I had a promo with LA Knight, where Knight suggested, you know, it's not a good time. It's not about safe spaces and microaggressions, and it's creepy.
That was an excellent promo, by the way. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. I worked really hard.
I love LA. Oh, LA Knight, not you. You were, you continue to exist and straddle. You're like a Disney villain in the uncomfortable, like, queer coding that isn't really, you know, it's kind of offensive.
I'm sorry, what?
Okay, so you know how a lot of Disney villains are like kind of sort of gay?
Yes.
Yeah. And he like put his head on, like when Harlan put his hand on him and he like nuzzled him a little bit. Oh, didn't love that. A little.
Fair. Okay.
Know. It's questionable. You know what? It's fine. It's fine so far. It has the potential to be very awful, but it's okay so far.
They do toxic attraction in the back. They're being asked questions and they walk into the frame with Dakota Kai. Kai's like, yeah, I guess I'm with you. I love it. It's just like, yeah, sure, okay. And then sure. they walk through, and this is my favorite part. They're just like, oh, it looks like somebody's rage room.
And I was like, what in the what?
Ray's entire like character now is rage room enthusiast, and it's been that way since so they debuted her.
Like, if you saw a bunch of trash all over the place, you wouldn't think it looks like someone's rage room. Like, who thinks about rage rooms that frequently? They're not even that popular of a thing. Like,
I have some friends who have done it and they think it's great, and I would try it. Have you tried one?
Yeah, I don't like how limited I am in my options.
I'm sorry, you're gonna have to elaborate, because again, I've never been to one.
The ability for me to sue people if I get hurt really restricts how much a business can let me let loose in a rage room, and I don't appreciate that. Because I just smash things without equipment. Yeah, I don't want to wear the protective equipment, but they make you. And like, you can only smash so many things. They won't let you smash. And there's no fire. You can't use fire. So
I'm glad you can't use fire. That would be awful. And also kind of great. I give you that.
Uh-huh.
Anyway,
just do it. Just go out into the... See, I'm not from the deep city. So like, you know, if I want to smash stuff without any... with impunity, like... Don't really need to pay someone anyway.
Well, y'all, if you've been in a rage room, tell me about it, would you? I want to hear more about it. Cameron Grimes comes out and he's talking.
And he didn't come out with super short hair and a shaved face. I like it.
I loved the way he looked.
So he got a nice haircut and he's like, sure. And then it was a setup for a hair versus hair match, and I appreciate that because it wasn't like, and he explained why he looked like a bum.
Here's the problem with that, Tim. I don't want to see either man lose their hair, which is actually perfect.
Yeah.
I like Cameron Grimes. I like the way that he looks right now. I think he looks like Keanu Reeves and The Crow all together at one. And I like that. Yeah. And then Duke Hudson looks good the way he is. But what do? You put some hair on him afterwards? What do you do?
That's the thing. Duke Hudson can have his head shaved and it grows back real quick. Not a big deal.
I guess so.
This is a great setup. This is a great build. Like, yeah.
I was happy with it. Gutless and nutless.
Gutless and nutless, yeah.
And so they're doing hair versus hair at War Games. I love it. I love that Hudson then pulls out the hair in the plastic bag, and he's just like, I'm going to get more of this. It's good stuff.
Fill my hair bag.
Casey Squared take on Indy Hartwell and Persia Parada. Indy Hartwell is super heartbroken because, no pun intended, because her husband is out of action and she's got the ring. Heartbroken, handbroken. Casey Squared win the match, which I expect, again, because they're trying to build Casey Squared and Indy Hartwell is clearly, you know, not paying attention. It's distracted. Did you see the promo for Tiffany Stratton?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me your thoughts and I'll tell you mine.
Good character.
You're excited for the mean girl tennis serving star?
Yeah. I mean, I can't off the top of my head think of anyone who this is like a boring repetition of. So I like that, you know, rich daddy's girl, good at tennis.
So
like a mean Barbie? Meh, I'm into it.
I have a theory. And that is the daddy that she's talking about is not actually her father. And it's her sugar daddy.
Even better.
If you want to take it to that level? Because again, NXT is high school, and it could be the daddy is daddy, but it also could be the daddy is daddy.
Either way, like the way that they were, the amount of times daddy was said, I have a feeling that we get to meet daddy at some point. Imagine and I don't daddy, know who that's going to be, but
daddy is William Regal. You're welcome. You are so welcome for that.
Oh, now I'm sad. Where's Samoa Joe?
Oh my God, Daddy Joe? That's even worse. I love it.
That would be terrible. I don't want that.
Yeah, they want to get more. NXT wants to be more edgy. That's right.
This is a good way to do it. I'm on board with that. That sounds fun.
Yeah, fine by me. Andre Chase and Cameron Grimes, by the way, they had a face-to-face. They look very, like, not familiar. They look alike. They have a lot of qualities, similar qualities in the face.
Yeah, kind of.
Go back and watch the segment, and you'll be like, oh, okay, interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Stratton is ripped. She comes from that background. Daddy is big, sexy Kevin Nash. Oh, I am game,
set, that match. See, that one fits. That one's perfect to me. Like, that would be absolutely perfect.
Daddy Nash. Oh, let's do it.
And he's fun, right? Like, he's done some movies and stuff where he's always like a hoot in them. So I think he would have the chops to do it well.
Spread the word. NXT is high school. And you know what? Denise Salcedo said it last night on her Twitter feed, and I immediately jumped on it. Someone brought it to my, I think Mod Dan brought it to my attention. I jumped in and I was like, we talked about this. I wanted everyone to know. Someone gave you a shout out for the Breaker High reference, by the way.
Nice.
Good stuff. Yes, Stratton is trained by Greg Gagne. I had pointed that out to a few people. So there you go. Let's go. Daddy's Little Rich Girl is the theme song for Tiffany Stratton. Nice. Malik Blade and our friend Stantasma, Santos Escobar, is back. And he's going to win everything. Yeah.
Malik Blade continues to just show up to get his ass beat.
It's fine. Like I said, it's going to lead to him winning the North American title in a few months.
And then subsequently getting released.
But at least he's not dating or married to one of the referees. So it won't be nearly as awkward. Anyway, Electra Lopez is like, hey, Zion Quinn, you don't say no to us.
Is he dating the referee who did the thing for Sonya Deville?
They are engaged, yes.
Do they need the money?
No, they're fine.
Is that why she's committing crimes?
I think they're okay. He worked at GCW 2 weeks ago. Anyway, all right, Electra Lopez running down Zion Quinn. I know it was a bit. It wasn't a good bit. Anyway, out come Kyle O'Reilly and Van Wagner. And first of all, I'm sitting there just like, why are we doing this? What are we doing? They want Legado. Legado wants to be the next tag champs. I'm all
apparently
for it.
I didn't know they wanted that.
Marcel Barthel and Fabian Achner come out and they're just like, I don't give a shit. Two of you guys can fight it out to figure out who's going to face us at War Games.
Oh, they don't speak Italian.
In my notes, I have someone wrote a triple threat feels much more likely. That person doesn't know that War Games happens after December 1st. And December 1st is when Kyle O'Reilly debuts for AEW at this show in Duluth, Georgia. So the match next week is Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner, in which Kyle O'Reilly eats the pin. And the date on that is, the 30th of November. And then next night, out comes Kyle O'Reilly, flew from Georgia. He could have driven from Florida to Georgia. And there you go. He's in Duluth and he makes his debut. Meanwhile, Von Wagner, I don't know, he'll maybe beat up Kyle on the way up to the main roster. But it's going to be Legado del Fantasma versus Imperium at War Games. I'm telling you now, have fun with that.
Yeah, it's fine.
Cora Jade, by the way, putting an end to our Can They Coexist video because she thinks it's
silly. So they know. They're aware. They're aware of what they're doing.
They are very hyper aware of the silliness of Can They Coexist. Just
write something different then.
God forbid. Tony D'Angelo is leaning into the gimmick. He comes out into this later. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he misused the word Shylock, but whatever.
Did he say Shylock or Shyster?
He said Shylock business. Said and Shylock. I was like, that's a loan. That's not a bookie. Anyway.
Cora Jade and Mandy Rose. So Cora Jade is back to the getting roll up wins against people that you never would have expected. I'm fine with it. I don't know about you.
Fine. I believe Mandy Rose get rolled up to lose all the time.
It was a distraction. Sure. Kaylee Ray was involved. Obviously, she's we're going to Kaylee Ray. Yeah, she's going to use that bat. Rage Room enthusiast Kaylee Ray will get a title shot. Why not? Do you think maybe they can do everyone who's in War Games for the women? If Mandy Rose loses the match, all four of them get title shots against Mandy. Would you do that?
Yeah, that sounds cool to me. That sounds very good. Again, hey, maybe they've written something different. We'll see.
Maybe. Or at least have the other members of Toxic Attraction also have title shots, you know, taken from or given to the opposite end. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, is there... Did he say Shyster? I could have swore he said Shylock.
I think he said Shyster. It's okay, more of a Jewish thing. Anyway.
Well, both are, but anyway.
Well, yeah, Shylock's a little more on the nose, whatever. Shyster's a Yiddish thing.
Yeah.
Either way, not important.
He did say hash. I don't know.
Probably.
Anyway.
Joe Gacy does his thing. Again, Joe Gacy's the best. Can't say a bad thing about Joe Gacy. He was supposed to have a match with LA Knight, yeah, but then Grayson Waller comes out and they beat each other to the back, which is another
fight forever that
continues. Fine by me. Bivens comes out with Diamond Mind, and I love this. Joe Gacy, after Roderick Strong spent 2 weeks taking down the 305 guys, Gacy's like, nah, forget your title being all 205 cruiserweight BS. That's weightist. Weight classist. Weightist. I couldn't think of the word.
Fat phobic.
Fat phobic. That's right. Joe, and I'm not a big guy. Well, I am a big guy. Joe Gacy is also, you know, a pretty well-sized guy.
He's not 205. That's for sure. No, he's not.
So he says, clear the weight limits. Give me the title shot. And Roderick Strong says, yes. Roddy Strong and Joe Gacy at War Games. Big fan. But what I love even more than that is when Bivens is like going to sick the Creed brothers on Gacy. Harlan comes out. Harlan, who's still learning his forward role. And he puts his hand on my shoulder and he says, fear not, for I am with you. And then Bivens is like, nah, maybe not. So they back off. Fine by me.
I think they could have taken them, but that's fine.
MSK can afford a vehicle. Good for them. They're going 7 miles an hour.
Apparently.
Pretty much how that segment felt to me. I like MSK. This just wasn't my favorite.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's fine.
And then they came
legal
back
in most places, so I don't know what they got in that thing. They doing heroin now?
Maybe. Ooh, the MSK. The M stands for Marowin.
It's honestly probably anabolic steroids. Anyway. Ooh,
boy. Ivy Nile beats Ulyssa Leon, who's an enhancement for all intents and purposes. All I want
is her gimmick that she's a belly dancer. She was just Ulyssa? Like doing.
I don't
like,
know. Maybe.
Yeah.
Ivy Nile being the pit bull of the bulldog of the group. I want her to start using a bulldog choke as her finish.
I think that'd be good.
Solo Sikoa.
It was really good. Actually the push-ups and crunches bit. I think that's a good signature type thing. Like that's a really good stamp on your brand.
There's money in that. I like that. Ivy Nile does in fact rule. I think there's something in there. There's just something in there.
Tons of potential. I don't know. Yeah, well, we'll see how she is on the mic, but tons of potential there.
Solo Sikoa, I like the idea that he says he dropped the bloodline reference. I still like the idea that Solo could show up to the main roster, beat the shit out of the bloodline, and be like, I'm taking you all out because you left me down here to rot.
It's a nice back pocket to have. And like, he's already great. So
let's do that. I don't really have much to say about Brooks Jensen and Briggs versus Grizzled Young Vets. Just a simple
thing. I'm sad that the Grizzled Young Vets are now pickpockets. I don't see where that came from.
Yeah, time for Grizzled Young Vets to move up or move on, as they say.
Yeah.
I think it's just time.
Again, it's just they're a tag team. Like, you know, package doesn't work here for some reason.
Next week, because we need ladder matches, it's going to be Kaylee Ray, Dakota Kai, War Games Advantage. Fine by me. It'll be a good ladder
matches.
A lot of fun.
Totally.
Who do you think wins that between Ray and Kai?
I think Ray needs it.
I think Kaylee Ray wins. I also think Kaylee Ray is going to turn on her team and cost them the match at War Games. Or at least turn on her team and like just turn on her team. Whether or not they win or lose, that's another question.
Just turn them on.
Edgier. Just turn them on. Well, that's Toxic Attraction's content. Already working on that. So I guess maybe it makes perfect sense. Gargano, Dunn, and Hayes in the main event. A very good match for the North American Championship. We all knew what this was going for. We all knew what this was leading to. Big fan. Hayes gets the win as expected. Gargano is Gargano's in War Games. So is Dunn. So is Ciampa. So is LA Knight. Yeah. That's your four for 1.0. They're going to take on 2.0. 2.0 War Games is Carmelo Hayes. It is Bron Breakker. It is Grayson Waller. And I forget who the fourth one was.
Is it Trick?
Oh, no, it's Tony D.
No, Carmelo.
It's Tony, Tony D, D who's going to win the match. That's right. Tony D is going to win the match.
He will win the match.
Yeah, so that's fine. And Bron Breakker gets to do the War Games thing this time. I wanted him to do it kind of like Scott Steiner. War Games, fat asses! But not what he did.
No, I don't think they're going to let him do that. It was good. I thought the transition into this was really well done. And then, you know, Bron Breakker being the poster child. I was like, yeah, he's going to come out and he's going to say War Games. And he came out and he said War Games.
Yeah, it was fun. It was what it was. Four-door soup, actually. I like this. Roman should say something on Friday about the Usos losing at Survivor Series and then bring up Solo Sikoa. That's a cool idea. Has his like his new guy. Mod Dan saying, where's Regal? He's currently paying for Tiffany Stratton's wrestling wrestling and tennis lessons.
Stop putting it out there.
Daddy's going to come back and show us all. It would be nice to see him do the War Games announcement, but he didn't. So here we are.
Well, I mean, we haven't seen that. You know, he brought in. Well, they're just not part of 2.0.
I think he's fine. I just really think he's more back end focused, and they kind of took him away from being front of camera focused.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine. He is the principal of
2.0's
NXT.
Lawless.
It's faceless. It's not lawless.
Yeah.
It's
mostly lawless. He's lawless.
What's not lawless is dropping a thumbs up here on the video and joining our Discord. And
very lawful good, that is. That's
And share the video. Tell your friends about us. Why not, okay? Let's talk about AEW tonight. We have a sold-out Thanksgiving Eve show in Chicago at the Wintrust Arena. If you're there, have fun. If you're watching like we will, it'll be a fun time. Are you ready to run this shit down?
Oh, we're not going to talk about Boa? No, we don't need to talk about Boa. Continue.
Sting Boa will be for another time, my friend, okay?
Yeah.
There you go. Apparently, Regal's doing NXT UK things. So, AEW, let's talk about it. CM Punk takes on QT Marshall because, of course, he does. The Thanksgiving turkey gets stuffed. Tim, where are we going? Is Punk going to get punked out after this match?
Hopefully.
Hope in he gets his hometown? His ass
beat. Yep.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't know. No, there'll probably be another fake out promo v promo MJF. I think MJF gets involved. Picture.
Yeah. Do they talk, or does Wardlow beat the shit out of Punk? Because we're going to that.
Yeah, I think I don't know that we're not going to get them talking tonight properly, not fully. Like, you might get a few words, but nothing. They're building anticipation.
They're going to do Punk and Spears, probably next week or in a couple of weeks, then at Winter Is Coming, they'll do Punk and Wardlow, and then at Revolution, they'll do Punk and MJF, right?
Yeah, so we gotta smear this out for sure.
That works for me. Speaking of people taking on entire factions, Bryan Danielson, the Americanson Dragonson, Bryanson Danielson takes on Dark Order's Colt Cabana, Boom Boom, who is from Chicago because Bryan Danielson is on the Dark Order beating you in your hometown.
Yeah, he's on the Mortal Kombat, like one fighter at a time. Yeah.
Uno should have been higher. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Uno feels first.
Either way, next week they're in Georgia. Like I said, Kyle O'Reilly makes his debut and Brian will take on the Dark Order's Allen Angels number 5. That's a long name to say.
Yeah. Too many.
And then after that, they're in Long Island. So he'll probably take on Johnny Hungy. And then after that, they're in Texas for Winter Is Coming, where they take on Cowboy Hangman Page. Fine by me. Does it work for you?
Yeah,
I think fine. there's a week in the middle that I forgot. Either way, that's
Danielson. There's enough Dark Order members to throw one in there.
Could you imagine? Oh God, if there. I wonder. No, I don't think there's a live Rampage between now and then. Either way, and then we've got TBS title tournament. Thunder Rosa takes on Jamie Hayter. What do you think? Is this Thunder Rosa's big loss? Is it Jamie Hayter moving forward? Does she eat the L? What do you want?
No, I think it's the continuation of Britt Thunder Rosa. I think Thunder Rosa wins.
Okay, I'm down with that. Thunder Rosa getting a big win. She'll get a big pop, especially in Chicago, so fine by me. Yeah. And then presumably in the main event, everybody's favorite, hashtag Cody Rhodes, who has the hash flag for some reason because he doesn't have a Twitter account anymore.
I was about to say, is he back on? No.
No, he's not. He just gets hashtag Cody Rhodes with the American Nightmare flag, hash flag. Anyway, Cody Rhodes teams with Pac and the Lucha Bros to take on Malakai Black, Andrade El Idolo, and FTR. What are you expecting? What do you want out of this match? Is there a bigger story that could play out? What do you want?
It to end.
Fair.
I don't know. I don't know what you want. An elegant transition out of this never-ending feud.
Okay.
I don't like FTR and Andrade at all. Like, I don't like that bit that won't end. No, I don't care. It doesn't do anything for me. I want Pac to do more interesting things. I want Malakai Black to do more interesting things. Yeah, that's it. The bigger story is Black and Cody finally stopping their feud. That's what I want.
Stop the Cody-verse. I want to get off. Yeah. That's all it is. Yeah, we can transition to somewhere else. I think Andrade Cody is a good one. Pac and Black.
Yeah, see, those work for me. Yeah. Do that.
Start getting those guys. Get Miro involved. Of course, we don't know how his health is.
Yeah, I don't know what's the word there.
Yeah, we'll see. Regardless, that's all that's been announced so far for AEW tonight, for Dynamite. It's going to be a fun show, as it usually is. Check it out. We'll talk about it in the Discord. You can find a link free in the description of this video while you're tossing that thumbs up and leaving a comment on the video. Until then, Tim, where can the kids find you on the internet?
They can find me at Timstone, PTIMBSTONEP on Twitter and Instagram.
Show is at Tim and Joel Pod, timandjoelpod.com. It just routes you back to YouTube for now. And I am at Joel Pearl, JOELPEARL. We'll see you on Sunday at noon Eastern, where we're going to talk about AEW a bunch, because that's what we do. And I'll tell you other stuff. Johnny Gargano has an extra week on his contract, by the way, according to Fightful Select. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Okay. Until then, ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary. Yeah, I left that for the very end.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know the significance of that.
Because of War Games. Good night, everybody.